The epistle is to be found on page 210 of the Church Bible. It is taken from Philippians chapter 2, reading from verse 1. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the world. It is by your holding fast to the word of life that I can boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a libation over the sacrifice and the offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. And in the same way, you also must be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand to say the Alleluias.
Alleluia.
Peter.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. The gospel reading is taken from John chapter 1, starting at the first verse on page 94. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
And that we will all draw closer to you through it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do sit down. This is number two in our series on the vision of St. Mary's. We've looked at disciple makers and now turn to God seekers. And this is a slightly misleading title, as one of the major differences between Christianity and other faiths is that we believe God came to find us in the incarnation of Jesus, not that we can find him by our own efforts. As it says in Luke 19, "For the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." So our faith is a gift from God, although we do have to accept it. He won't override our free will. Many years ago, I found a list of 37 things that accompany salvation when we become a Christian. For example, just to quote number 12 on the list, "All Christians have been regenerated. They are born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3. They're children of God, 1 John 3. And they are new creations, 2 Corinthians 5. If we are all indeed children of God, it follows that we are all in one family. And that's Paul's point at the start of this chapter. Just as in earthly families there can be friction, so in the church family. And Paul is pleading urgently that there might be unity between the members of the Philippian church. Paul is reminding them that they are all members of Jesus' body, the church. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. For this reason, Paul exhorts the Philippians to be like-minded and of one spirit and purpose. We must all be like-minded in all major matters. On small secondary matters, we can have different opinions, provided we remain in one spirit and purpose. Elsewhere, Paul stresses that we should be making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And this is sadly illustrated in our support of several grieving members of this fellowship over the last few months. Being like-minded and one in the Spirit means having the same goals and purpose, namely to love and obey Jesus and to glorify him. This must be the life purpose for each of us. And there are many ways of achieving this. There are, for example, different musical styles for worshipping Christ. It's the same Christ who is worshipped, and our personal preference should not affect the sincerity or enthusiasm of our offering. In verse 1, Paul mentions four blessings that we should all experience as Christians through the Holy Spirit. Encouragement through being united in Christ, consolation from his love, sharing in the Holy Spirit, and compassion and sympathy. As Christians, we have already received these blessings. So let's act as though we have and are united in the Holy Spirit. If we have been blessed by the Holy Spirit, let's share these blessings with each other. The Philippian church would have made Paul's joy complete by doing so. When Jesus looks at St. Mary's today, what gives him joy? Is it our programs? Our work? Our size? No, none of these. I believe that what gives him most joy is our unity, being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. The NIV expresses it even more plainly, being one in spirit and purpose. If we have no unity of mind, we shall have no unity in our work. If we have no personal unity between us, any attempt at spiritual unity will be meaningless. Just as good works are proof of our faith, as James maintains in his letter, so our loving acceptance of one another is proof of our unity. An example of this in practice here will be the arrival of Gemma and the new leadership that will bring. In order to preserve and maintain our unity, the most important quality we need is humility. Pride is one of the main causes of division and disunity in any group of people. We each want our own way as being better than yours. It's not enough to consider others equal to ourselves. We must consider them better than ourselves. Romans 12:10 puts it quite clearly. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Paul then lays down the ultimate example to follow, Jesus Christ himself. As our gospel reading reminded us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. The Word was another name for Jesus. That's absolutely clear. The phrase, who thought he was in the form of God, I feel is rather weak. I much prefer the NIV, which states, who being in very nature God. This seems to me to encompass not just the shape of God, but the complete character and qualities of God. But even though he was equal with God, or as John says, the Word was God, Jesus voluntarily emptied himself of all the divine qualities and made himself a slave. Even though he was fully God, he became fully man, even lower than most men, becoming a slave. As Mark reports Jesus saying in chapter 10 of his gospel, for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Even though Jesus was and is God, he didn't exploit it, but gave it up for us. He loves, note the present tense, you and I so much that he was prepared to give up his rightful status as God to come down to earth and be born as human so that the price of our sins could be paid on our behalf. It's one of the mysteries of faith that Jesus is both fully God and fully man. There was, however, one exception to being fully man. He didn't sin. Even his enemies agreed about that. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. The only way his sacrifice on the cross could achieve the forgiveness of our sins was if Jesus was totally undeserving of punishment, so that his death could satisfy God's righteous requirements and justice. And death on a cross in Roman times was the most contemptible thing that could happen to a man and was reserved only for the worst criminals. There was nothing lower than a crucified criminal. And yet Jesus came down from the most exalted position of all and put himself in the lowest position of all for our sakes. Therefore, and when you see that word, you need to look carefully at what it is there for. Because Jesus humbled himself so completely, God exalted him to the highest place possible, which is seated at the right hand of God in heaven. Verses 10 and 11 are the ultimate result of Jesus' humility, love, and sacrifice. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. These two verses are all-encompassing. Every means all, total, no one missing, believer and non-believer, Christian, Jew, Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, agnostic, atheist, or anyone else are all included. At the end of the world, every knee or person will realize and acknowledge Jesus is Lord, with no exceptions. Paul then goes on to exhort the Philippians to be obedient, just as Jesus was totally obedient to his Father. But the encouragement is in verse 13. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to do the will, to will and to work to his good purpose. He not only helps us do what he wants of us, but gives us the desire to want to do it. I'll repeat that, it's quite a complicated idea. He not only helps us to do what he wants of us, but gives us the desire to want to do it. So it's not us working our way to him, but God working through us to achieve what he wants of us. Because we are weak and sinful, we stumble and go astray. We need to fear our sins and weaknesses. Just as a child is afraid of displeasing his father, so we need to be afraid of displeasing God. One day, we're going to be judged by Jesus for everything we have done in this life. But at the same time, we must continually praise and thank God for his grace by which we have been declared worthy and righteous in Jesus. But remember this, we are free to reject God's grace. We can refuse to obey God's will. We can continue to sin without repenting. That is our free will gift from God, and he won't override it, but it will have consequences. If we choose to accept God's grace and to obey him, then God has promised to help us. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for the incredible gift offered to us by Jesus' sacrifice. Help us to accept it and all that it means for each of us. Help us, Lord, to be a united fellowship of your body here in Bristol and to demonstrate your love and grace to those who we meet each day. Amen.